Today's shir is Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Daled. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Begins the Gemara Machras Rava, Vitema Rafuna, Desalkan Leila, whether those who are going from Bavotai to Yisrael, or the Nachsin Lusata, or whether those that are going from Yisrael to Bavol. Hi Ba Yisrael, they made the following announcement. Hi Ba Yisrael. If there's a Jew, the Yodas Adus Lakuti, that is able to testify on behalf of a Nachri, V'loy Tovimene, and the Nachri had never requested that he come say testimony on his behalf, V'ozo V'asle B'dine Dekuta Yisrael Chavre, and he on his own voluntarily went to testify against another Jew in the courts, Misham Tinalei, we put him to Cherim, says the Gemara. My Tama, why is this the halacha? Says the Gemara, because as we know, the Torah Gdosha says that a pishnei edim yakim davar, in order to be able to prevail in a din Torah, if you have a claim that someone owes you money, in order to be able to prevail in that din Torah, you need to have two edim, and they rely on one aid, a pum dechad, they rely on one aid. Therefore, by you participating, you're going to cause the Jew to lose money improperly. However, the Rashba, quoting the Ravid, says that this prohibition that the Gemara is suggesting that one should not participate in this case is only where you know that there'll be that the Kuti, if he indeed deserves to win, will be able to win. However, if we know that the Yisrael, who's being called to court by the Kuti, is saying something which is patently untrue, and only you, the Jew, know that that is the case, then the halacha changes. And then the halacha is that you should participate to make sure that something that dishonest doesn't happen. Furthermore, V'loya Marin, and given what we just explained, V'loya Marin, this halacha only applies El Echad. If he's going to testify as only one single witness, which we just explained, one witness is unacceptable. Av betray, if there's two witnesses, loy, there's no problem because he's going to have another aid, which is the halacha by Jews. However, points out the Mordechai, we know that when we speak about Edom and Bezdin, the halacha of Edom and Bezdin is that the Edom may not be related to each other. So points out the Mordechai, if these two Edom are related to each other, so even though it's two Edom like the halacha by Klai Yisrael requires, but we know, of course, that they may not be related, but not in this case where they're related. And by one witness as well, is only El Bedina Bekista, when they go to a provincial court, Avil Bedin Av Beidaver, where we're going to the official court, Dini Nami, even they, they only, in the professional courts, apparently there were two different court systems, and in those court systems, they were careful not to rely on one aid. So Rashi says that the people in the villages weren't such experts in being able to do a case properly. Another pshat that Rashi says, it depends on if they're judging by force or they're judging fairly. And another pshat that Rashi explains, that in the villages, it was common that the judges would take bribes. So to participate in a case which is being done with bribes, that is wrong. But if it's not that type of a case, we could be, if it's in a fair system, we could be more lenient. Amar of Ashi, Kiavino Bei Rav Huna, says, when I learned in the yeshiva of Huna, Ibailon, says, we asked the following question. if there's a important individual who is relied on like two people, and he could testify, they're going to rely on this person because he's an important individual. And therefore, he shouldn't say testimony. Because as we just learned, when we're saying testimony, you have to make sure that it shouldn't be a case where they're relying on one aid. If he's an important person, and if he's summoned to court and one and will not come, it'll be a very serious issue. That's why Matzil Sude, we let him testify, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. Amar Vashi, hi, Ba Yisrael. If we have a Ba Yisrael, the Zavale Aral Ovik Chavim, that sold property to a Ovik Chavim, a Matzri, the Ba Yisrael Chavre, on the border of the property that's owned by Yisrael, Misham Tinalei, such a person is put in Techeirim. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what's the reason we do so? Iname, if we're going to say, Mishum Dina de Bar Mitzra, the Tarak Doisha says, Vasisa Hayoshev Atoiv, we are obligated to do what's right, and included in doing what's right is that if somebody has, if somebody's a neighbor of mine, and he has a property, so I'm now going to sell property, so for him it's the best, most convenient that he should get be able to buy that property. So the Dinan Bar Mitzra says that he has right of first refusal in buying my property. Vamamar, says the Gemara, doesn't the Gemara Masechta ask the Gemara, have we not learned or going to learn in Masechta Mitzvah Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis, Zavin Maivik Chavim, if somebody sold a property, bought a property, which was next to another Jew's property, Uzavin Li Avik Chavim, if you sell to a Akum, to a property which is next to a Yisrael, Lekum Shem de Bar Mitzra, because there is no din of Bar Mitzra. Because in the first case, where we're buying a property from an Akum, and we're removing the Akum from living amongst us, even if we didn't, even though there's a Jewish neighbor, the ability for us to remove that Akum is already Yoshev V'Toiv. And as far as selling the property to an Akum, even though it's being sold right next to the property of Yisrael, so explained the Rishonim, there is no issue about Metzra, because the halacha of Asisa V'Yosh V'Toiv is primarily said to the buyer. The Torah speaks to the buyer, and the Torah says to the buyer, you should buy this property. Look for property elsewhere. But the Torah obviously speaks to you, to Klal Yisrael. The Torah doesn't speak to the Akum. So doesn't this Gemara clearly indicate that there is no issue about Metzra? Ella, says the Gemara, Damina Lei, that we put him at the Cherim. Abasli Arya Metzroi, you put a lion on my border, the Meshamtina Lei, and therefore we put him at the Cherim. Add the Kabbalay until the seller, Kol Unsudos Machmasei, he's going to be held responsible for any damage this Akum may make. There's a big machloikus Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. The Torah learns the Gemara and say that even if under all circumstances, the halacha that our Gemara just taught us, that you're not allowed to sell the property, your property next to which is next to a Yisrael, to an Akum, applies under all circumstances. Rabbeinu Tam, here in Tevri Maskel Tosfos, disagrees and says that only if he sold the property, when there was a Jewish buyer who was willing to match the Akum's price. But if he wasn't willing to match the Akum's price, then we could sell it to the Akum. There's a third opinion, which is opinion of the Rosh. The Rosh's opinion is that if I was able to get the fair market value, then I have to sell to Yisrael, even if the Akum is willing to pay more. If, however, there is no Yisrael who's willing to pay the fair market value, there says the Rosh, I may sell to an Akum. So the Tar is the most machmer. The Rosh says it depends. If you can get the fair market value, you have to sell it. otherwise not. And the opinion of Rabbi Natan is that the Gemara is very strict, and you may never sell to an Akum. So there's an interesting discussion here in the Cheshukei Chemed. Here our Gemara discussed how we have to be careful not to sell a property which is next to Yisrael to an Akum. What will be the halacha, discusses the Cheshukei Chemed, where I'm not selling it to an Akum, but I'm selling it to a Jew who's not a Yerushalayim. And the question is, what will be the halacha in those circumstances? And he suggests that the same halacha would be that we're not allowed to sell it to such a Jew. Again, he says that if there's no other Jew who's willing to pay it or pay certainly the fair market value, then we have to be, then we may sell it to him. And he quotes a Ben Yoyada. The Ben Yoyada says that by having two Jews next to each other, one is observant and one isn't, it could only cause all sorts of problems. One problem that it could cause is that the Jew will learn from the non-Jew, or the Jew's family will learn from the non-Jew how to behave not inappropriately, which of course is something we want to avoid. And the other concern that he says is that there's a chilul Hashem. People don't know how to differentiate between different Jews. In their mind, a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. And here we have two different Jews who live side by side. One does Torah mitzvahs, and one doesn't observe Torah mitzvahs. And the rest of the world won't necessarily be able to understand how to relate to this. And because of that, it's best to separate. Says the Mishnah, Notel Muchsin as Chamayroi. Is we spoke extensively in our previous year about the Muchsin, the tax collectors who acted illegally. Notel Muchsin, that they took your donkey, v'nosle chamar acher, but they give you a different donkey instead. Notel listem as ksusoi, they took your garment, v'nosle ksusacheres, and they gave you a different garment. Hareil shloi, you could keep them, because we could assume, says the Mishnah, neshabal mishyash mehem. You could assume that the owners were miyash, and as we've learned, and we're going to learn, once the owners are a miyash, then it's much easier to take on ownership. So the Sefer Shoshanim L'David explains that why did the Mishnah have to speak about both a chamor and a ksus, a donkey and your garment? So he explains, if the Mishnah would have only spoken about a donkey, we would say that by a donkey, there's no way to be able, a donkey is a donkey. So since a donkey is a donkey, we're going to Mitzvah be learning Masechta Matziah. And in Masechta Matziah, we're going to learn quite extensively the difference when something has a simen regarding Hashavas Aveda and other halachas versus something that doesn't have a simen. So explains the Shanim L'David, a donkey doesn't have a simen. And therefore, people are miyash. We just spoke about yish. People are owners of miyash of their donkey quickly. But when we speak about a garment that has a simen, people are not miyash. Garments are everybody's garment is unique. And if we would have only spoken about a garment, we'd say that once somebody wore somebody else's clothing, if the Gazlan took my clothing and he wore it, he's not going to give it back to me. But a donkey is a donkey. He may give it back to me. So Rashi explains that how do we understand the Mishnah? That as soon as the Muchsin took something from this individual, and as we learned in our previous year, the Muchsin were very strong individuals. People were fear them. We could assume that right away there was Yush, and that's why there was Yush and Shin Rishos. There is a machloikus harishonim if there is indeed shin rishus in such a situation, but most rishonim are of the opinion that the way to learn this gemara is that there was yush by the owner as soon as it was taken away from him, and therefore before the muchas even got ownership of it, there was already yush, and since we had
both,
that's why the person may keep it. This discussion of something that was taken away forcefully, how does the halacha look at such a situation, of course, is the subject of much discussion regarding different objects that were ransacked, that were taken during World War II. What would be the halacha? Now it's after the war. Can the person who lost it claim it back? Because they would say that this is my object. On the other hand, there was certainly in that time Yiyush, people, as the Germans, Yimach Shemam, took away Jewish-owned property, Jewish articles, there was certainly Miyash. Says Rabbi Yashiv that the halacha, and this is in the Kaivis Chuvis of Rabbi Yashiv, Chelk Aleph Simon Reish Yud Zayin, we have to assume that there was Yush, and therefore if somebody took that property, the halacha is that they may keep it. However, the Ramah in Chayshim Mispat Simon Shin Samaches says that there's a special rule that even if somebody was Miyash, if somebody bought something from a Ganif, you have to give it back. And therefore, in this case also, that perhaps you have to give it back. Says Rabbi Yashiv that the Ramah speaks about a stolen item. Here we're speaking about a war. And maybe something that was taken through a war has a different halacha and belongs to the person who took it. And it seems that Rabbi Yashiv's opinion is that that it doesn't necessarily go back to the original owner. The Shas Chuvis Michas Yitzchak, Chel Ches Simon Samach Tes, discusses this same question, and he says that he feels, it seems, that the Ramah's rule would be applicable, but even though he says that he believes that the Ramah's rule would be applicable, he wants to make an interesting distinction. He wants to say it may be only applicable to the original owners. But if it's not the original owners that are claiming it back, it's their yorshim, therefore it may be different. The Torah HaKadosh says that after Avraham Avinu saved Lot and helped Melech Sodom win the war, Avraham Avinu says to Melech Sodom, Im chut v'asroi chanal. And the Gemara Masechet Sotah Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph teaches us, B'schar, in the schar that Avraham Avinu said that to Melech Sodom, Klal Yisrael was zoicha to have the mitzvah of tzitzis and the mitzvah of tefillin. So the Sefer Mincha Sotah explains that we are learning that if somebody, we're about to learn that if somebody saves something from a listen or a goy, the halacha is, depends. If the owner was Miyash, then it becomes the person who saved it. If he wasn't Miyash, then it's not. So what did Avraham Avinu save here? He saved the entire Stoim, the people and their objects. So Melech Stoim says to Avraham Avinu, Tain Lias HaNefesh. I'm declaring that I wasn't Miyash. And therefore, since I was not Miyash, you deserve nothing. But I, out of the generosity, I'm going to give you the rechush. And Avraham Avinu said that if you don't really believe that I deserve it, and you're only saying it because you're saying you weren't Miyash, and you're only saying it because you want to be nice to me, I don't want that. I mean, I don't want something that you don't really believe that I deserve. And because Avraham acted in such an attitude, says the Gemara, Masechet Sotah, we, Avraham Avinu acted so appropriately, we are there for zoicha to the mitzvah tzitzis and the mitzvah atfilm. So says the Mishnah Matzim and Anorim and Agayis, if somebody saves something from a flooding river or from an army that's coming to attack, I mean, I list them from armed bandits. So as we said, im nisyashu abalim, if there was yush, hare el shaloi, it belongs to the person that saved it. V'chein, says the Mishnah, and if there was no yush, it doesn't belong to them. Continues the Mishnah, V'chein, nechil shadvayrim, if there's a bees that traveled from one person's beehive to someone else's beehive, im nisyashu, if the owners of those bees were miyash from them, harei el shaloi, it becomes the property of the second beehive owner. Amar Yachman Broken, the menace isha katan loimer, bekan yotzen nechal zeh. The people could say where these bees came from. Anyone, a woman or a katan as well. One could walk into trespass into somebody else's property, lahatzel as the chiloi, to save his beehive. But as the Shulchan Aruch points out, the only time I could go into somebody else's property is where I'm going to take back what belongs to me. But let's say there's something hefker in somebody else's property. Just to take something which is hefker from somebody else's property may not be done. From hizik, and if in doing so he caused damage to his other person's property, he has to pay for it. Let's say the bees landed on a branch of a tree, so I just cut off the whole branch to take my bees back, that may not be done. I'm not leading as a domim, even if I'm prepared to pay for the value of the branch. I may cut off the branch and pay for it to get back my bees. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, if somebody took from the muchas or from the listin something that belonged to someone else, and now I got it, I have to give it back, machzer lebalam rishonim. I have to give back to the original owner. Why? Says the Gemara, Yosh Kesavar, the Tana of our Mishnah is obviously of the opinion, the Yidish Gedir Laikani, the Gazlin, had, even if there was Yish, Yish alone is inadequate. So it means it never became the Gazlins. Since it never became the Gazlins, I have to give it back to its original owner. Vikademri, in Bala Hachsar, if I want to return it, Yachsalabala Rishoinim, I should give it back. If I discover what I have is a stolen object and I don't want to use it, I should give it back to the original owner. My Tama, because Yish Kadi Kani, that really it does become the Gazlins, because as we learned in the Mishnah, there was Yish, Mi Ami Efshim, Imam Shem Mishali. But if this person is saying, I don't want my money, says the Gemara, Machzal Balam Rishonim. So we learned in the Mishnah, Harei Elu Shaloi, Bnei Shabalim Mishyashin, that I could keep it because the owners were Miyash. Amar Vashi Loi Shonu, El Balistim Av Kachavim. Where do we say that the owner is Miyash? When the listener was Av Kachavim. Av Listen Yisrael, if the listener was Yisrael, Loi. So the Gemara, because if the person that took it was Yisrael, the other Yisrael always thinks to himself, L'mocha Nekitin Lebedina, tomorrow I'll be able to get back what's mine. Masler of Yosef asks of Yosef, we could make a counter argument. Adrabba, if chemistabri, we could say just the opposite. Oiv kechavim, the dinah begaiti, that akum, where their court system is very authoritative. So therefore, the person from whom something was taken away, lo miyash, there's more confidence in their court system. However, Yisrael, kiva the Amri Meimer, the Dayana Yisrael don't have the same authority. And all the Dayana Yisrael could do is say to the person who took something improperly, return it. But they don't have any police power. There, the person who was stolen from is quicker to be miyash. It says, the Wal Itma, a safe Itma. We're referring to the next in the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Hamatzamayv kachavim minalistim in the Shiashu abalim in. Then the Shiashu abalim, it becomes the person who found it, and there it seems in. Only if we know for certain that they were miyash does it become the property of the person who receives it. It seems, stama, if we don't know if they were miyash, loy, you would have to give it back. And that says Rav Ashi, loy shonu el kachavim, but when is there not an assumption of Yush? There's no assumption of Yush when it was taken by a guy who's going to go to their court system. Since they're going to go to their court system, that's why we have more confidence in that system. Avol Belistim Yisrael, by the Jewish court system, which is only based on what the Dayanim say. All that's based on is Kivan the Amri Meimer, only what they say. So people don't have that level of confidence, and they're Miyash. The Mishnah in Masech the Kelim, Perich Chavov, Mishnah Ches, teaches us that in order for a Keli to be Mekabel Tuma, it has to be complete. So that means if the owner has a piece of leather, we'll use the example the Gemara works with, where a person has a piece of leather, and a leather could be used as a tablecloth, it could be used as a mat. So as soon as it's just a piece of leather, if that's what I'm going to use it for, it's a keli. Or leather could be used to make shoes. So if I have just a piece of leather, it doesn't necessarily mean that I finished it. I finished working with it. It still has to be formed into shoes. So how will we make the determination if it's mekabel tuma, because it's ready finished as far as I'm concerned, or if not? It depends on the machshava. So says the Mishnah there, Irish shebal bayis, if I own the piece of leather, machshava metamason, my decision is what will cause if they're considered a keli and a mekabel tuma or not. However, v'shal abdon, if somebody has a piece of leather by a person who works with the leather, a machshava metamason, because this person who's selling leather has his, he intends to sell the leather. And as long as the person will pay for it, he doesn't care what the person will do with the leather. So his thought, his machshava doesn't count. Continues the Mishnah. Shel gazlon, somebody who steals, as we learned earlier in our Masechta quite extensively, the difference between a ganav and a gazlon is a gazlon who does something in the open. So shagazlan ain nachshav matamosam, because since they know who is the person who stole it from, so there's always hoping that they're going to be able to get it back. So there's no yish, and since there's no yish, it doesn't become the gazlans. And if it doesn't become the gazlans, his nachshava doesn't count. However, v'shel ganef, which we learned, the ganef is somebody who steals surreptitiously. I don't know who stole it from me. Since I don't know who stole this from me, I am a yash, and that's why machshava metamason. Rav Shimon says just the opposite. Shagazlan machshava metamason. By gazlan, since this person is such a strong person, he's not scared to steal something in the open, so there's more reason to believe there was yish. Shelganov ain. We know we're dealing with a weak person. The proof that he's a weak person is that he stole something that he shouldn't be caught. So therefore, there is no yish. Amar Ula. So commenting on this Mishnah, says Ula, machlokes, the machlokes of Shimon Chachamim is bestam, where we don't know if the owner was miyash or not. Ava bidua. If we know for certain that the owner was miyash, devei hakol yish kani. Rav Amar bidua nami. Even if we know that the owner was miyash, still there's a machloikis, because it doesn't mean that there was full fledged yish. Amle Abaye l'Rabba loytifka leidu ula. So Abaye said to Rabba, don't disagree with ula. The Tanan b'masnisik kavasei, because our Mishnah supports the Mishnah supports. His Mishnah says, "Lefish loy nesiyash or balim." The entire discussion is if the owner were miyash or not. Tama. So the only reason we would say that it doesn't become the person who stole it, because the loy nesiyash or balim, we don't know if the owners were miyash. Aval nesiyash or balim. If we know for a fact that the owners were miyash, harei sha'olam harei ushaloi. So isn't this clearly indication that if there's yish, there's no question? Amalei responds, Rabba, to Abaya, and now lefish ain yilish baalim sninle. The way we learn our Mishnah is that they're never miyash, and even if we hear them to be miyash, doesn't make a difference. Tanan, that's that Mishnah. But as the Gemara, we learned our Mishnah not l'muchsin chamaroi, if the muchsin took my donkey or my garment, and we said the if the owner it belongs to the person who took it, because the owner are miyash. So ask the Gemara, muchis is a gazlan. Liston is a ganef. And in both cases, our Mishnah says that we assume that the owner was miyash. So now ask the Gemara, Mani, who's going to be the tan of our Mishnah? Irabonon, if we're going to say that our Mishnah follows the opinion of the Rabbanon Kashtel Gazlan, why? The Rabbanon hold that by Gazlan, since I know who is the person that took it from me, there is no yish. Here we're saying in our Mishnah that by a Muchas, who's a Gazlan, there was yish. Virab Shimon, who says that by Gzela there is yish, by Ganef there isn't, Kashu Ganef. Our Mishnah spoke about the case of a Listen, which is a Ganef. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Ula, according to Ula's interpretation of that Machloikis, Beidua Kani, that we know, if we know that the owners are Miyash, then there's no discussion. Hachinami, that's how we're going to explain our Mishnah, Beidua, that everybody is aware in our Mishnah that the owners were Miyash. And therefore, the Vehakol, our Mishnah could foul both the opinion of Rabbanan and Rav Shimon. However, asked the Gemara, El Rabbadam Beidua, Nam Machloikis, even in the case where we know that the owners were Miyash, the Machloikis of Rav Shimon and Rabbanan still is applicable, Hamani, so our Mishnah is not consistent, like Rabbanon, for like Rav Shimon, answers the Gemara, the Mishnah is speaking about Lista Mezuyin. And by Lista Mezuyin, everybody will agree, is that Rav Shimon will agree that there's Yish. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon he, our Mishnah is going to follow the opinion of Rav Shimon, that where there's Gzela, there's Yish Baalim, and Lista Mezuyin is considered like Gzela. So ask the Gemara, if list of mezuyin is gzela and a muchas is gzela, so why did the Mishnah have to mention both cases? Yochehane gazlan. What will be the difference? Answer the Gemara: Trei gavni gazlan. The Mishnah wanted to teach us that there are two cases of gazlan. There could be a gazlan with arms, and there's a gazlan mezuyin. Toshma. The Brisa says haganav gazlan va'anos. Anos is somebody who forces me to sell something to him. He pays. But it wasn't. I wasn't interested in selling, and he forced me to sell it. The halacha is hegdesh and hegdesh. If they were magdish, what they stole, it's hegdesh. The trumas and truma, or masroisan meiser, mani. So again, ask the Gemara: who is the tan of this brisa? Irabon kashel gazlan. Why is it a hegdesh? Rabbanan hold in that mishnah that by gzela we don't assume that the owners were miyash. Virab Shimon kashel ganef. Why is the hegdish of a ganef a ganef? Rav Shimon says that by ganef there is no yish. So again, bishlam ul'udam b'yidua, that if we know for a fact that the owner was miyash, there's always, then the yish is effective. Hachinami will explain this brisa that's referring to yidua, that we know for sure that the owners were miyash, and therefore the divrei hakol he, it could reflect everybody's opinion. Elol rabba. But ask the Gemara, according to Rabbi Dama, be a duo nami machloikis, that even in a case that they know that the owners were miyash, it doesn't make a difference. The Rabbanan have their opinion. Rav Shimon has his opinion. So then we have a question, Hamani, who will be the Tanadat Braisa, like Rabbanan, like Rav Shimon, answers the Gemara. Hachinami, we're going to have to explain that the Ganef in that Braisa is referring to a list of Mezuyin, that, and therefore a list of Mezuyin has the same status as a Gazlan, and Rav Shimon, who says that by Gzela, there's always Yiyush. Ask the Gemara, Yehochehain a Gazlan. So then, what's the difference between a Gazlan and a Ganef? Answers the Gemara, again, the same Teretz, Trei Gavni Gazlan, the two different examples of a Gazlan. Vibay Seima, if we want, we could say that the Braisa is speaking, when it says a Ganef, it means a Ganef. Hamas Nisa, but who's going to be the tan of this Braisa? Rebbe he. It's going to be following the opinion of Rebbe. The Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe's opinion is Ganef Gazlan. A Ganef and a Gazlan are the same. And what does that mean? When Rebbe says a Ganef and a Gazlan are the same, does he follow the opinion of the Rabbanon or does he follow the opinion of Shimon? Says the Gemara of Kaimlon, and the Gemara, in understanding the opinion of Rebbe, which we're going to speak about more in a moment, says Rakaimlon, Kigazlan Rav Shimon, and by both of them, the halacha will be that there is by Ganef and Gazlan, there is Yush. So says the Gemara Gufa, Rebbe Omer. Rebbe says, Omer ani, my opinion is Ganef Kigazlan. So Rav Yosef Engel Zatzal, in a safer Beis Oitzer, tries to understand what is this wording Omer Ani. So he says, the word Omer Ani means that Rebbe, as we know, the Gemara in Masechta Soita, Daf Mem Tes Omer Aleph, teaches us, the Mishmeis Rebbe, after Rebbe passed away, Batlop Anova. Rebbe was the paradigm of Anova, being modest or being humble. So what Rebbe used to say was that, Omer Ani, this is my opinion, but it's not opinion that you have to, that I necessarily believe is 100% correct. I'm open and prepared to hear the opinion of others. And therefore, he said, always used to say, Omer Ani, very similar to we see many people, Rabbi Kiviger, others used to say, Nir Lani Estaiti, this is my humble opinion, but I respect that there may other be other opinions. Another pshat that I saw from the Baal Shem. Baal Shem says that everything that a person is able to do and everything that a person is able to accomplish only comes from Siyata Deshmaya. And he says, as we know, Hillel says in Masechta Sukkah, Im ani kan hakol kan. If I am here, hakol kan. So ani is a way of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what Rebbe said, if I am about to state a position in halacha, the only way that the position that I state in halacha has any chance of being accepted is Omer Ani, if I have Siyata D'Shmaya. If the Ani, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me the Siyata D'Shmaya, then what I say could be accepted. Otherwise, it doesn't have any chance. So again, says the Gemara, Gufa Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani Gana Kigazlan. But now the Gemara asks, what does that mean? Does he follow the opinion of the Rabbanon that say by Gzela we don't assume there's Yush, as we said earlier in our shir? Because since by Gazlan, I know who's the one that stole it, so I'm not so quick to be Miyash. And therefore, Veloikani, Idilma, or maybe the way to understand Rebbe's opinion is that Gazlan Rab Shimon Kamer. And just like Rab Shimon said that by Gazlan we assume there's a Yush, so too will be the halacha by Ganif according to Rebbe, Vikani, and the Gemara is, it will be a Raya. So what happens now in the Gemara is all the different brises that were quoted earlier are going to be brought again to see if they could serve as a proof to this question. Toshima, we learned in the Mishnah, Nostal Muxa Chamayri, if the Muxa in our Mishnah took his donkey and gave him a different donkey, took his garment and gave him a different garment, the halacha is there was Yush, Mani. So ask the Gemara, and as we said, that the Muxin are a Gazlan, and the Listin are a Ganif. So Mani, I Rabbanon, Kashl Gazlan. Why by a Muxis do we assume that there was Yush? Virab Shimon, Kashl Ganif. Yeah, Bishlama, if we'll say that Rebbe holds Ganif, Gazlan, Rab Shimon, Kamer, that the Gazlan that's being referred to in our Mishnah is the Gazlan of Rab Shimon, the Kani, Hamani, we'll be able to say the opinion of our Mishnah is Rebbe He, or Shemachi Kani, because Rebbe holds there's always Yush, and therefore the person who took it is always going to become the owner. Eli Amrit, Ki Gazlan, the Rabbanon Kamer, the Rebbe holds a Ganif is like a Gazlan according to Rabbanon, and therefore there's no Yush, Hamani, who's going to be the town of our Mishnah, Le Rebbe, Vele Shimon, Vele Rabbanon, answers the Gemara, as we learned earlier. Hachamai Skinen, we're going to explain that the Mishnah is speaking about a list of Mezuyin, and it's going with Reb Shimon, and therefore a list of Mezuyin has the same status as a Gazlan, and since he has the same status as a Gazlan, by Gazlan, Reb Shimon holds there's always a Yush. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's the way we're going to explain the Mishnah, so then they're both Gazlan. Answers the Gemara, Trey Gavni Gazlan. We wanted to enumerate two different forms of a Gazlan. Tashma. The Brisa teaches us, Hagana v'Gazlan v'Anos, Hegdesh and Hegdesh, Trumas and Truma, Masreis and Meiser. Irabonon, Kashla Gazlan. Why what they took, can they be Magdish? Why what they took, could they be Magdish? There was no Yish. Virav Shimon, Kashla Ganif. Why could the Ganif be Magdish? It's not his. So again, says the Gemara, if we'll say Bishlama, the Rebbe's opinion is Ganif ki Gazlan, Rav Shimon Kamer, and there's Yish by both, Shemachi Kani, Eli Amrit Ganaka Gazan Drabonon, and there's never Yush, so then Hamani, who will be the town of this Braisa? Answers the Gemara. Again, We'll explain that the Brisa is speaking about a list of Mezuyin, who has the same status as a Gazlan. Rav Shimon he and the Brisa will be following the opinion of Shimon that by Gazlan there's always Yiyush. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, why were two cases needed to be stated? Yehoch Yehine Gazlan? Answers the Gemara, Trey Gavni Gazlan. Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rabba. Toshma, the Masna Rebbe Rav Shimon Berei. Rebbe taught his son Rav Shimon that when the Mishnah says that if somebody steals something and gives that food to his children, they don't have to give it back to the gazlan. They don't have to give it back to the victim. But we learned im hayadavish yesh bechrayis chayavim l'shalim. Says the Gemara, loy davish yesh bechrayis mamish. It doesn't necessarily have to be real estate. El afil par v'charishpa chamor mechamachreim chayav l'hachzer nekvar aviyim. So what do we see is the reason they have to return it? Tama nekvar aviyim halav kvar aviyim. If that wasn't the consideration, loy, they wouldn't have to return it. Why? Because it became theirs with the Yush. So what do we see? That's a Stam Mishnah, and the Stam that Rebbe taught Reb Shimon, and Rebbe said that we always could assume that there was Yush. Only there's a new consideration of Kvar Aviyim. So what do we see? The Rebbe Gazlan Reb Shimon Kamer, the Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon that everybody's always considered like a Gazlan. There's always Yush. Shema Mina, that when Rebbe said Ganav Kegazla means that in all cases we assumed there was Yush. We learned in the Mishnah, became the Chil Shadvarim, if there was a bees hive, if the owner of the beehive was Miyash, it becomes the property of the person who owns the where it landed. Mai V'chein, says the Gemara HaChamah, I feel in the Chil Shadvarim, even in case of a beehive, the Kinyan Drabonim, because a person's ownership in bees is not a strong ownership. So, Sakatat Chamina, Hai Kivan de Rabbanan Ba'almahu de Kanalei, since the owners only have a Kinyan de Rabbanan, our entire ownership of the beehive is a weak ownership. Therefore, we should assume maybe, Afil Stama Namiyash, when we don't know for certain that there was Yush, maybe we should assume there was Yush, Kamash Malan. That's what the Mishnah comes to teach us. No. Im Nishashu Ba'alim in. Only if there was Yush does become the other person's. Eloi, Eloi, without Yush, it wouldn't be that way. Amar, Rabbi Yochum Abreika, we learned further in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yochum Abreika taught us, Nemenes Ishvakatan Loimer, Mikan Yotzen Nechilzeh. We trust him to say that this beehive originally belonged to this person. Ask the Gemara, Ishu Kotten B'nei Edis Nenu, can we accept the testimony of the Isha of a cotton? Answers the Gemara, Amri Yudam Shmuel, Hachbayim Skinin, Kagan Shayabalim, Maratun and Chreim. That the owners, the original owners, were running after them, and Ishim Vakatan, and then this Ishim Vakatan, Mesich Lfitumam. They didn't come to say testimony. All that they did was that they just told us what they saw. Vaimrim, Menan, Mikan Yotzen Achelzeh. So since we have this combination, that the Mesich Lfitumai, combined with Raglaim Ladover, because we see that this person is running after the beehive, that's why we could trust them. Amr of Ashi, Eim Asich L'fitumah Kosher, but Rav Ashi discusses, when can we rely on Asich L'fitumah? El Alei Desisha, as we learned in Masechta Yevamos, the Gemara says, Mishmiguna Kilabar Rabbonim. So when there's a question, if somebody's husband passed away, we're very lenient. So he says the Mesich Lefitumai can be trusted only in that case. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina asks Ravashi, how could you say that? Veloi, that the Mesich Lefitumai is only trusted in such situation. Verei Nechil Shadvairim. The case that we just learned in our Mishnah is a case of Mesich Lefitumai, and we are trusting them. Answers the Gemara, the reason we trust them here is Shani Nechil Devarim, the Kinyan Drabonon. So since the ownership is only a Kinyan Drabonon, we could rely on it. So what's the difference if it's a Derais or Drabonon? So Moshe, Negris Moshe, makes a very interesting point. He says, what does the Mesich Lefitumai accomplish? He says, what the Mesich Lefitumai accomplishes is it creates a Sofik. Since it creates a suffix, so we know what our loch is, by a suffix deraisa l'chumra, and Sofik Drabonon Lekulo. And that's why we could trust them by Drabonon and not by Deraisa, except for Edus Isha. Ask the Gemara, the Deraisa Loi, is the Aloch that by Deraisa we don't rely on Masichla for Tumay? Ask the Gemara, Vamra Yudam Shmuel, Maisabad the Mekachai Masichla for Tumay. There was a person who was Masichla for Tumay Vaima. Zuchaini, I recall, Shani Tainik, I was a young child, Makavni al Ksef Salaba, I was still being carried by my father, but Tsioni Mibesa Sefer, they took me out of Yeshiva, and the reason Taisus explains in Masechta Ksubas that this is an important part of the story, because the Eved of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. So the fact that he was given Truma, that's the subject we're going to learn, may not prove that he's a Jewish, that he's a Kohen. Maybe he's only the Eved of a Kohen. But the Eved of a Kohen would not have been sent to Yeshiva. Vishtuni es Katanti, they took off my clothing, Vitviluni, and they took me to the mikveh, because Rashi explains, Tanoikis play around with Shrotzim, and therefore we have to be concerned that the Tamei, Lech HaTrum V'Erev, they have to have Harav Shemesh, so they only eat Truma at night. Signed by Hachi, and Chanina concluded the story. For Chaveri Medel Mimeni, they would stay away from me. My friends would stay away from me. For Karen, I see Yoichan Oichan Chalas, that I eat challah. And based on this testimony, Halu Rebbe Lekun Al Piv. So we see that we could rely on Masich Lefi Tumay, even by the rice. Answers the Gemara with the Rabbanon. Here it's the Rabbanon. That's why we could be more lenient. The Kati. Ask the Gemara, but the Raisa loy, the Kiyosu Rav Dimi, Omer Rav Chana Katano, Vamay Racha Katano, and Mishtoi, said the following story. Masa Bala Fnei Rishu Ben Levi, Vamay Le Masa Bala Fnei Rebbe, Betinik Echashay Masich Lefutum Vayma, Ani Ve'imi Hishvinin El Ben Avdik Chavim, we were kidnapped amongst the Akub, Kiyoti Lishay Mayim, if I would go get some water, Dati Al Imi, I would pay attention that my mother was not being abused, Chas V'Shalom. Look at Eitzi, Data Al Imi, V'Sirin Rabbi Al Pev Lakuna. So we see that we rely on Masich Lefi Tumay. Answers the Gemara, B'Shvuya Hikilui. We were lenient by Shvuya. Avala Yokitsa Saikai. We learned that if my bees landed on your branch, I'm not allowed to cut off your branch, even if I intend to pay for it. Shmuel Bar Yochanan says, I can. Tanya Shmuel ben Noach Rabbi Yochanan Breik Omer. Tonight Bezdin who? Bezdin made the following stipulation: Sheyoyer l'toch sudah shel chaveroi. I may go into somebody else's property, the kites of soikoi shel chaveroi, and cut off his branch. Lehatzel as nechiloi, and to save my bees. The noitel demay soichem etoch nechiloi shel chaveroi, and the owner of the property could take payment out of the bees. Tonight Bezdin who? There's another tape, Bazdan. There are two people, we're going to speak about this extensively in our coming shiurim. Two people are carrying pitchers. One is carrying a pitcher of wine, and one is carrying a pitcher of honey. And the honey, which was much more expensive in those times than honey, that pitcher broke. Sheshoifik yeinoi, that the person with the wine should pour out his wine. Or matzel is the shanish l'chaveri to save the other person's honey. V'noitl d'mei yeinoi metoich the shanish l'chaveri. He could collect the value of the honey out of the wine. The value of the wine out of the honey. Tanei bezdin hu, there's another tanei bezdin. Shei, if somebody has his donkey carrying wood, and another donkey is carrying linen, Shem Mepharkas, and linen is more expensive than wood, Shem Mepharkas Eitzov, he could take off his wood, V'tayim Pishtan Shel Chaveroi, in order to carry the other person's linen, V'noitel Demei Eitzov, V'tayim Pishtan Shel Chaveroi, but he get back the value of his wood from the linen. Shamanas Cain, Hinchi Shula Yisrael's Eretz. When Yeshua divided up Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to institute a system where people would be able to help each other, and therefore all of these rules were put into place.